one day you have a healthy husband and then the next moment he's gone. And some people would just use that and say, I am broken. And I get it, right? Some people would use that and say, I am too broken to keep going. And then others would say, I have to keep going because of.
And 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to The Real Social Proof Podcast with Mr. Sleepers for Suckers himself, David Shands. Y'all heard? Let's get it.
Welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast. Me and Donnie are here today.
We are here, and I don't know why it feels like it's been a minute.
It's been too long, and we're recording at night. We don't normally record at night, so this episode might be a little different.
This episode might be different. Let's see what the vibes are at night.
Yeah, because the moon shifts or something, right? Moons shift energy, right?
Definitely. We are definitely in a different situation. Anyway, welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast. I am Donnie Wiggins.
I'm David Shands. Biggest lesson this week.
Sheesh. The biggest lesson for me this week was to remember to apply the biggest lessons that I've learned from previous times.
Explain that. Go deeper.
Yeah. So, I'm tired of talking about my 90-day development journey, but, you know, I'm past it. During that time, though, I learned so many valuable lessons, new habits and things that I want to create for myself and ways that I want to change. And you feel like you're doing a really good job until you're triggered. And so the key in making sure that you are actually progressing is in the moment of being triggered, can you remember and apply the lesson?
Yeah.
One of the things for me is knowing how to calm myself down emotionally, like not getting riled up and letting something, you know, somebody cut you off and you're honking the horn. And because we can't do that anymore. Like we can't be road raging in these streets anymore. People are like crazy. So when that's happening, realizing that that's a trigger for you, if that is a trigger, it's not really for me. But if that's a trigger for you, realizing in that moment, like the moment you get ready to beep that horn, can you calm yourself down emotionally enough to say, no, I'm not that person anymore? And I'll also say, as a caveat to that lesson, not going back, don't go back to what you're familiar with if what you're familiar with doesn't benefit you.
Don't go back to what you're familiar with if what you're familiar with doesn't benefit you.
Yeah, if it's detrimental to you. So we'll go back to behavior patterns, habits. People will go back and say, oh, I'll just have a drink. Well, if drinking gets you in trouble and you're not productive, and this is a habit that you've worked really hard to get over, you don't go back to that habit of familiarity just because now you used to associate going out to dinner or going out for a good time, meaning you had to have drinks, right? I remember when I was younger, a good time included drinks. Now, not so much. That's just not something that I have to do. So I'm not going to let anybody force me back into an old habit that I used to be familiar with that brings them pleasure, but it causes me detriment. That's probably my lesson.
That's a big lesson.
Yeah.
That's good. Goodness gracious.
Was that good?
That was amazing.
I didn't know if you were being sarcastic.
No, that's good. That's good.
What about you? Biggest lesson?
Biggest lesson to me, goodness gracious. Change the tire. Just change the whole tire.
So tell me about it.
I kept getting these slow leaks in my tire, right? Mm. And I'd fill it up and then it slowly leak again and I filled it up. But it wasn't a lot going out. It wasn't a lot of air going out. So I just kept filling it up and kept filling it up. But I kept worrying about how long has it been not filled up? And it reminded me about so many things. We have these issues in our life, but they're not that bad, but they're impeding progress. And sometimes you just got to change the whole tire. Stop trying to fix it. Stop trying to plug it. You do something totally different.
Yeah.
And that shows up a lot in my life. I mean, you try to put certain band-aids on things that you already know. There's something underneath that that's not good for you. I guess kind of in the same lane of what you're talking about. Stop just tolerating. Stop tolerating inefficiency. Stop tolerating people who aren't adding value in your life. Stop tolerating. You just sometimes you got to change your circle.
You got to change your circle.
Throw the whole tire away.
Throw the whole tire away. Nope, I don't want you to patch it. I don't want you to plug it. Throw the whole tire away. Mm. You can get this hubcap too. You know something that I'm really excited about this week?
What's that?
So today, technically the day that this releases, but today makes exactly 1 year since my dog survived a life-threatening surgery. And
your dog's alive, right?
My dog is still alive. Okay, and I'm surprised that I have not used him in stories before about entrepreneurship, because he's got to be the most resilient living being I know. So I rescued this dog when my daughter was in seventh grade. So let's say I rescued the dog in 2013. Okay. The dog, I'm dropping my daughter off at school on the first day of school. I hear this loud screech behind me, and it's the dog screaming because a car had just run over him, like ran over his hind legs. Mm. And he's tiny. He's a little bitty. Like at that time, he was like 9 pounds. He's about 12 pounds now. So he's screaming, and I'm thinking he jumped out of their car. They're going to stop. They keep going. So I had leftover breakfast in my car. We had just left breakfast, dropping Deja off at school. So I'm not an animal person. I don't know if this dog has rabies. I don't know what's going on. So I'm like dangling bacon in front of him, and he's scooting. Dogs are so like greedy, and you know that he's in tremendous pain, but this bacon, he's scooting to my car. Anyway, I end up rescuing him. He's not chipped. And because he had a fractured leg, the vet at that time said they could not manage him. And if nobody claimed him in 48 hours, they would unfortunately have to send him somewhere where he could likely be put to sleep. The shelter for their area was overfilled, over capacity, and he would be one that would likely be put to sleep.
You just put the dog in your car?
So her PE teacher ended up coming out helping me get him in the car because I'm scared to touch him.
Oh, this is at the school. Okay.
School. Gotcha. And so I drive down the street to the vet. They come to the car, they get him, check him out. He's fine. His name is Solo because he was so terrified. He did not want to be around people. He wasn't aggressive. He was just sad and he was hurt. And I'm like, okay, we'll put signs up for a couple of days. If nobody claims him, I'll put some listings up for him. I couldn't. He was just so hurt, so sweet, just shaking all the time. I would call him Solo. He started to respond. We decided to keep the dog. That's 2013. 2015. He goes completely blind, just out of the blue. Out of the blue. At the time that I rescued him, he was about 2 to 3 years old. So this is a young dog. He goes completely blind. The vet thinks that he may have had a stroke in his sleep. One day I just wake up. We go to bed one day. We're playing. I wake up the next day and he's not moving. He's moving like very cautiously. And I'm thinking he just doesn't feel good. I put some treats out. He doesn't want it. I take him out. I'm like, maybe he has to use the bathroom. I realize he falls off the sidewalk. Like I live in a condo. We're crossing the street and he just falls off the sidewalk. And I'm like panicking, like, what the heck? And so I'm like, okay, walk a little bit more. And he runs into the next sidewalk. So I do this in front of his eyes and it's not moving. I notice that his eyes are like glossed over. I'm falling out in the middle of the street. Mm. We rush him to the hospital. They say that he's blind and there's a surgery that has a 50-50 chance. Remember that. At that time, I was broke, right? Didn't really have money like that. Wasn't really broke, but I did not have discretionary $5,000 to try for a 50% chance to save his sight. So he's been blind since 2015. He gets along. He keeps going. He's hit by this car. He figures it out. He wants the food. He keeps going. He's in this new home. He keeps going. He goes blind. He keeps going. Fast forward to 2021. I'm dropping my daughter off at college this time last year. He's fine. We're on a road trip. He's loving life. We check into the hotel and he starts to like move slowly again, like what he did when he went blind. And so I'm keeping an eye on him. The next morning I wake up, he's laid out on his back. His arms and legs are completely straight up in the air. I go to pick him up and I stand him up and he just tilts over. He falls over like a stuffed animal. Body is stiff like a stuffed animal. And I am losing my mind.
Listen, family, Black representation in media is vital, okay? If we don't use our voice, we lose our voice in radio, television, print, etc. I remember listening to Arsenio Hall back in the day. I remember watching Oprah. I remember hearing these Black voices in media, and it made me always want to be a part of it. The next generation, however, of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. And in the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths, okay? I'm checking out NPR, and I believe they have the real. The hosts understand the assignment and are telling the real stories of the Black experience. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story, obviously, but now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and as Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts.
Losing it.
Oh my God.
Kenny is with me and I'm like, I got to get him to the hospital. I'm literally running out of the hotel, like with pajamas on, like t-shirt, panties, dog. And he's like, no. I'll take him. I'll rush him to the hospital. You get dressed. We do that. We go. I find out he has stage 4 cancer in his right behind his ear. And they're telling me he's not going to make it. Now, this dog has had every health issue. He's got chronic allergies. He keeps going. He figures out a way to be happy. And I just made a post the other day that said, figure out a way to be happy regardless of these external circumstances that are happening around you. It's like internal. He's figuring out a way to be happy. He's blind, can't see. He figures out how to jump on the sofa, knows how to get his food. You bring him in a new environment, he knows how to survive. This time last year, they tell me they recommend that I put him to sleep. Here we are, another surgery. 50-50 chance that he will survive. But this time I got money.
Come on.
And I'm like, look, whatever it costs. And honestly, the cost was $5,000. And I was sitting there thinking there are some people who can't make life or death decisions and choose life over $5,000. Wow. So we have this surgery. He has to stay in Alabama for about a week. My daughter's going back and forth to check on him. I'm back in Atlanta. They tell me he pulls through the surgery, but it's not looking good. They don't know if they got all the cancer out. A tumor had grown so big that it was pressing on a nerve. He couldn't walk. He couldn't use the bathroom. He couldn't bark. He couldn't eat. Ma'am, you may end up having to put him to sleep anyway. We don't know if he's going to be able to use the bathroom or eat on his own. Within 12 hours of the surgery, they're sending me this video. It's a miracle. He's walking. He's slow. But he's walking. I go and get my baby. We bring him back home. I have to carry him around in a stroller. He's still wagging his tail, which is like happiness for a dog. He's still wagging his tail. He's still wanting to just be loved and cuddled. And he's still like playing with the squeaky toys. He's still trying to be happy. But this dog at this time he couldn't walk. Even when they sent me a video of him walking, it was just very briefly. Now I'm walking him in a stroller and I have to take him out of his stroller to put him on the ground in a place for him to use the bathroom. And then I have to pick him up and put him in another spot for him to use the bathroom. Then he would progress just a little bit. He's trying. He's pushing through. He kicked that leg up. He would fall over. Like he didn't have any equilibrium. His balance was off. He'd lift his leg up to pee. He'd tumble over down the hill and just keep rolling until you catch him. 1 year later, they said that they told me not to get my hopes up. You got lucky. Solo's like, you didn't. You got lucky. Give it a couple of weeks. He may pass. Couple of weeks go by. We do the checkup. He's fine. Couple of months. He's fine. 1 year later, we are celebrating, and you would never know that this dog was blind. He's now deaf, mostly because they had to remove his whole ear canal. His ears are sewn shut. He's got a fractured leg that he's had since the day that I met him. He's got chronic allergies, and this dog still gets the job done. He still finds a way to just tap into his inner happiness, and nobody could make me put him to sleep. Like, I looked at him. I was so emotional. I remember looking at him last year and saying, hey, I don't want to be selfish. If this is your time to go, like, give me a sign. And I had his little squeaky toy under my arm holding him. He wasn't moving the whole time. He mustered up the strength to lift his head and bite that chew toy. And that was my sign. Like, oh, we fighting to the death of me. Like, whatever it takes. However much it costs, doctors, let's make this happen. However much it costs. But that $5,000 decision has so far bought us another year of life together. And I'm just so proud of him. Like, when I have the audacity to want to quit because I have to wake up too early or something feels too hard or I'm tired, like, I just look at him. He sleeps, like, right outside my door, and I'll just look at him, and he's just playing with his toys and eating his food. He doesn't need supervision. He can be left alone after every obstacle had been thrown against him. And twice, somebody told me, a professional told me, I needed to kill him. I needed to make the decision to end his life. To me, that just corresponds to entrepreneurship so much. Think about every obstacle you've had that just comes and just knocks you out, knocks the wind out of you. You make a bad investment. You lose all your money. Now you're ready to quit. You have a business partner. They leave you high and dry. Now you're ready to quit. You have an idea that goes bad. Now you're ready to quit. You have a mentor or a parent or somebody who tells you that your idea is trash and you need to dead the idea, and you listen. What if you just keep going? What if you talk to yourself the way I talk to him, or talk to God the way I talk to him, and said, just give me a sign. Like, if I need to put this to bed, I will. But if there's any indication that I need to give this one more shot, that's what I'm doing. And you give it the shot of your life. That dog every single day is giving it the shot of his life. And I'm so proud of him.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yo, I'm sitting here watching you tell the story in awe. And there's so many things that are running through my head, because one, someone else could have given up on him. Like, mm-hmm. You could have said, okay, it's bad, let's just kill it.
Yeah.
Right? But I think you know enough to know, especially in entrepreneurship, things can be so bad.
Yeah.
But you can't just kill it. Mm-hmm. You can't just, like, let it go just because it's bad. Like, let's do all that we can. And I think you just adopted a mindset of, yo, I'm just going to do all that I can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All that I can.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting, though? Earlier you said, I think we were recording when you said, sometimes you just have to change a circle and get around new people. It is said that dogs mimic the people that they spend the most time with. And he obviously spends the most time with me now that my daughter is in college. I am a fighter. I will fight for love. I will fight for health. I will fight to save friendships. I am going to fight to the death of me. There was a time in my life where I could have died. You know, somebody else tried to take that power. There was a time where, and I mean physically, there was a time where I died financially. Like, I had nothing. It was all gone. Finances were dead. They were not running through me. And I kept going. Like, you cannot stop me. There's nothing you can do besides taking my whole life that will stop me. And you know, they say your kids mimic you. You turn around and your kids are doing the things that you do. And I look at him and I'm like, he knows who his human mom is. Like, this dog will not stop. Like, there were moments where it would get too quiet and I wake up like, oh, today is the day. He's out of here. And nope, he's just over in the corner somewhere under a bed, licking his paws. Like, he will not stop. But I won't stop. I won't stop. And in entrepreneurship, that's the sole reason. Like, I didn't come up with any genius idea to be a successful business owner. Nothing that I do is, like, super innovative. Mm. We're doing things that have been done before. The difference is, I don't care how bad it looks. If it makes sense to me, if there's any glimmer of hope, I don't stop.
Oh my gosh. Yo, this is so empowering. And I hope our viewers are really understanding, because there's some people that are going through some things. But what I know for sure is that there's someone that's way more successful than you that have gone through way worse.
For sure.
There's somebody out there. I don't care what you're going through. There's someone that got through it. You might say, well, yo, something happened, bad accident. I lost one of my limbs. I can't do anything. Well, we got Inky Johnson here.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I'm homeless and I don't have the education and, you know, I'm going through all these things. Well, we got E.T. We got Terica Smith. We got all these. There's somebody who have gone through way worse than you. Right? Somebody, I'm not saying that the things that you're going through aren't real, because they are, but the glimmer of hope is you can get over it.
Yeah.
And because someone else got over it, this just means that you have to become more than you are right now. And that's possible for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Budgetista. I don't know her offline. But I just ran across her post on Instagram today. She was paying homage to her husband, who died at the end of last year suddenly from an aneurysm. And she had posted this video of him just a couple of days ago laughing and being goofy. And like the caption was like, this is the essence of our relationship. I would never have known that her husband passed away.
Oh my gosh. This is like new. I didn't know.
I would never.
She goes hard. Like
she goes. Hard. Like, she has not missed a beat. In fact, so I said, her husband passed? So I'm doing what we do. I start scrolling through her page to figure out when did this happen, right? And I saw that it had to have happened in October of 2021. Even when it happened, she didn't post about it initially. It took her some time, and she ended up coming back and posting, and it was like, hey, I hate to, you know, make this post, but my husband passed away suddenly a few days ago or a few weeks ago.
Business is tough, all right? And you have to keep your brain focused on the main thing by limiting distractions. But let me show you how business works. I'll give you some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, and delivering products or services, the more margins you have, and the more money you get to keep. But with higher expenses on materials and employees and distribution and borrowing money, of course, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything is more expensive these days, y'all. From food to employees to systems, inflation is going crazy. So it behooves you, it'd be wise to find proven ways to cut costs and boost performance all at the same time. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
And I'm okay, you know, this, but she made the post and you would expect the wind to be knocked out of you. You weren't expecting this. One day you have a healthy husband and the next moment he's gone. And some people would just use that and say, I am broken. And I get it, right? Some people would use that and say, I am too broken to keep going. And then others would say, I have to keep going because of, right? And it's just, these
she
are just-
kids?
I don't know if she has children. She has a stepdaughter, his daughter? Okay, yeah. That's just shout out to her and big hugs to her too. I just thought, I'm like, wow. And even when I looked at that, I don't know if I would survive that. I'm not married, but if something happened to him today, I need a minute or two, right? Sure. Like, I need some time.
How do you make the first post of inspiration? How do you make the first post of getting back to business?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
How do you do that?
How do you even make the first move? Like, when things are going hard for you, what do you do to kind of snap out of it and say, okay, we're back to business as usual. We're back to business as usual. I remember when Solo had this episode last year, I had some sales calls on my calendar and I personally shut everything down. I can't take the calls. Like, I am emotionally unstable in this moment. Any call that I get on, I'm going to cry. And so that first day, I couldn't take any calls. When I realized he was stable and he would make it, you know, through the night, we were waiting on his surgery. I took calls that next day, but I honestly, somebody's dog barked in the background. And I totally broke down. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to reschedule your call. And she's like, are you okay? And I tell her what happened. And she's like, no, I understand. And she actually talked me through it.
Wow.
And they ended up enrolling in my program. It was really cool. But, you know, how many things seem really major? Because in that moment, like, if you're a pet parent, you know that your pet is like you're a child,
yeah,
right? You take care of them. They can't really make any decisions or do anything without you. And so I felt like I was losing an extension of my life, but it ended up not being, it was very major, but it ended up not being the worst thing that could happen, and we moved through it. What are the things that you're dealing with that aren't, you know, especially women, like, we go through relationship things and you know it. It's on your chest, it's on your shoulders, and you can't perform, you can't do anything. What are the things right now that are holding you back? Things that today seem like the worst thing that you could ever be experiencing in your life. You got to identify those things. And the answer to how you deal with them is to recognize that as long as you have life in your body, there is honestly nothing that can stop you. Doesn't matter what, nothing, because you still have to live. You still have to live. You still have goals to accomplish. You still have to operate and reach your own standard of life, like a break, but to quit, mm-mm.
And I think people got to understand that life is designed that way.
Yeah.
There is no 100% every single day happiness, joy. I don't care how much money you got. I don't, like, something is going to happen that it's tough to get over. It's life. It just is what it is. You can't get around it. So we went to my mastermind in Puerto Rico, and we were on this boat, and I see the captain jump off the boat. And, you know, he's just going around, because we're all like, I don't know if I want to, we're going snorkeling. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, yo, he just runs off, jumps, boop, in the water. He's like, yeah, there are some jellyfish in there. Actually, my boy got stung by a jellyfish, but he didn't know it. He's just, oh, it was like red. So he's like, oh, cool. So anyway, this guy, he's jumping into, it's like where we're at, it's like 20, 30 feet of water. So he's just jumping in. He's an expert swimmer, right? He just understands the water. He's the captain of the boat. So we get off, and then we kind of like dock at this beach, and then we're coming back or whatever. So we start talking about how, I don't know how we got on it, but he's like, you know, sometimes the water can be dangerous because the current pulls you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my assumption that the current pulls you underwater. I'm like, oh, the current, it like pulls you underwater because people die like mm-hmm. that. He said, no, the current doesn't pull you underwater. I said, are you sure? Only because I was pulled by the current one time. I almost lost my life. My mom like pushed somebody into the water to come save me because I couldn't go. It was crazy. Anyway, but I felt like the current was pulling me underwater. But he said, no. Whichever way the wind is blowing, the current is going to take you that way. Right? So it just pulls you. It's like, say this is the beach, like you see the water crashing into the beach,
mm-hmm.
but it's like a circle. So the water coming this way, and then the current pushes you out, and it just takes you out into the middle of the sea. But he said, eventually what happens is as the current pulls you out to the middle of the water, eventually it opens up and it lets you go. It just stops pulling you. So he said, yo, the current's going to pull you. He said, nobody can swim against the current. I said, surely. I'm like, well, how do you do it? Because I'm like, really, in my head, like, all right, if I'm ever in a life-threatening situation, I want to know what you did. Like, right. Do I go down and then swim that way? He said, no. He said, even I cannot swim against the current. I said, so what do you do? He said, you just got to let it take you. He said, yo, it's going to push you. But eventually, it lets you out. And you'll feel this, you'll stop feeling the tug of the water. And then you just simply go around, come back on land, you just go around the current. And I said, that was the biggest entrepreneurial lesson that I've ever learned. And I started I've been thinking about it since that day. It's been like a week. And I'm like understanding how current pulls you. It pulls you and you cannot fight against it. I said, well, how do people like drown? He said, well, people don't drown because they're being pulled underwater. They drown because they're fighting against the current and they're fighting against something that you can't fight against. But they're fighting so hard and they panic and then eventually they get tired and they can't fight anymore and they drown. And he said, the way you get over that, you just have to let it take you and eventually it'll let you out. And I'm like, yo, that has been my entrepreneurial career. There's going to be some current pulling you. I don't know what it looks like for you. It's going to be someone's going to pass away in your family, or you're going to lose your job, or someone's going to steal all your money, or something. It's going to pull you. But what I found out is that eventually it lets you go. Eventually things get better.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Right. We start fighting against things we can't fight against. And like, especially as like, as an entrepreneur, if business gets slow and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And like, you want to try to figure some things out, but sometimes you have to just be in it.
Yeah.
I didn't fight against COVID, like the things that were happening. I didn't fight against it. I'm like, oh, okay, we're in it. How can I move while we're in it? Or sometimes business gets slow and that's the current. It's like something happens in the business and things drop. Mm-hmm. My YouTube channel, it shot up and then it dropped. It dipped. I'm talking about like from 25,000 to like 9. And it dipped. But I didn't like start fighting. I'm like, yo, we just got to start putting out way more videos. Mm-hmm. I started taking classes. I started taking courses on YouTube. I started going to conferences on YouTube, understanding YouTube. And eventually it came down to these three things, your title, your topic, your title, and your thumbnail. And I'm learning these things. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the current while things are bad, but this is my time to learn and grow and accept it. And maybe sometimes it's your systems. And you got to like stop making sales for a second and say, okay, yeah, this is tough right now, mm-hmm, but let me dig deep into the system. Let me just go where this thing is taking me and what can I learn? Because eventually it will let you go. Things get better.
That's crazy, but that really is entrepreneurship. And as you're sitting there telling this story, I'm visualizing like getting in the way of a current. Mm-hmm. In that moment, I think most people who don't have that professional training's first response is going to be to fight. Mm-hmm. Fight hard. But I'm also visualizing that person fighting so hard that they're losing their breath, mm-hmm, and they're becoming tired and they can't hold their breath for the 90 seconds that it might, like 90 seconds at that time underwater feels like an eternity. So for these entrepreneurs who are going through it in their business, you know, I'm hearing a lot, like I'm analyzing sales calls and I'm hearing people saying, hey, the numbers are just dropping. And it's happened to me before, right? And you're right, you can't fight it. Like, I remember when I had nothing, after I lost everything and I had to move back in with my mom, like around 2010, I moved back into my childhood home and my mom's bedroom was across from mine. And I remember her walking down the hall one day. I have no money. I have no job at this point. I'm looking for a job. We're in the middle of a recession at that time. People aren't really hiring. They're being very, very careful. And she walks past my room and I am laughing at something on TV. Like I'm hysterically laughing.
What's up, podcaster or soon-to-be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back, and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th. Two full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait. There's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience. I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now, but hold on. Because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off. But if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you No, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code BIGDEAL, that triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code Big Deal at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code Big Deal.
And she stops and with disgust and she's like, what do you have to be happy about?
Dang, mama!
Yes. She's like, what do you have to be happy about? Like, you're doing all this laughing. Shouldn't you be panicked? You're a mom. You don't have a job. You have this child that you have to provide for. School will be starting soon. Like, shouldn't you be? And I remember saying to her, like, what good is misery going to do me?
What good is misery going to do you?
How is that going to help me out of this situation? Like, I knew even then, even before I was personally developed formally, I knew even then that if we're going to get through this, this isn't the attitude that I want to have. Like, I need to approach this a different way. Like, I tapped into genuine inner joy a long time ago, like before money and everything else. Like, I knew that I was broke and I didn't have anything and I had just lost everything. But I knew that as long as I had life, I'm going to figure it out. Like, I believe that strongly in my ability to figure it out. I am going to figure this out. So there was no reason for me to be depressed or unhappy and miserable. But I will never forget. She walked past and she's like, what do you have to be so happy about? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm breathing. I'm living. We're here. We're doing all this stuff. And you eventually, you know, find your way out. But I know that in the moment, for most people, they don't see it that way. It's the worst case scenario. It's like that high school crush that starts dating somebody else. You feel like life is over. You're embarrassed to go back to school because you've told everybody that you like him or her. And then 5 weeks later, you meet somebody else and this person doesn't even exist to you anymore. It was never that serious, right? So without being condescending to the real issues that people go through, I'm talking specifically about entrepreneurship. Like, there's always a way out, even if your way out is starting over.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to replace the whole tire.
Sometimes you got to replace the whole tire.
Golly, this is a really, really strong conversation, because I know somebody's going through some things. And I think in my experience, fighting has not been, like, my initial response being to fight has never produced good fruit. It's always, I have to sit down and accept it. Now, I'm not saying accept it for a month or a year. It's like, let me just understand what's happening. But I think the hard part, Donnie, is I think we know that. Like, we got to start to understand and figure out what our steps are moving forward. But how do you do that when your emotions are so strong and they're so, like, it's weighing so heavy on you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you can kind of, you can't start thinking of solutions right now.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do?
So I know most recently for me, one of the habits that I broke and that I'm sure will take me the rest of my life to break, because a habit's only broken until you're triggered, right? Mm-hmm. One of those things that I broke was responding immediately or reacting immediately. I recognize that in order for me to make really solid decisions, I don't want to talk about it with anybody. I don't want to talk about it to the person. I don't want to look in the back office. I just need some time to sit with the reality of what's happening, right? So here's the reality of what's happening. And how is that reality affecting me right now, right? So, you know, even in this 90-day journey, there were some things that I was going through that I didn't want to talk about it. Don't mention it. I don't want to talk about it. Let me just sit with it and really understand how this is impacting me, right? And then once I can identify how I'm being impacted, I have a little bit more control over how I move forward. Because when you react just sporadically and instantly, you didn't even give yourself time to feel what you needed to feel. You're just reacting to an emotion that hasn't even yet started to exist, right? So now I've just created this habit where I just sit and I need to think. And I realize that sometimes we're thinking through our processes too quickly. Like, it's like you and I can gossip to you about certain things in my life, right? About something that happened today. And tonight we meet for dinner and we're having a conversation about it. And it's like, well, I'll call you tomorrow and let you know how that worked out. Tomorrow isn't enough time. It's just not enough time. I literally had to take a few months to like regroup and really get clear. And one, recognizing immediately how this is impacting me, then those areas where things are impacting me, what other areas in my life does that affect? And let's put a plan in place. How do I avoid falling into a negative mental space, right? How do I avoid my business going so far backwards? So for example, if this is your business and it feels like things are, you know, going backwards really quickly, well, where are things going backwards? What's causing it? Like, just sit back for a second. Okay, things are going backwards. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that sales are slow? Does that mean it's new sales that you're not generating, but you still have some recurring revenue that can hold the company? If so, it's a new sales problem, and let's figure that out, right? Let's sit with that. Now, if we don't get new sales for the next 30, 60, 90 days, how strongly is that going to impact us? You might find that you have enough recurring revenue to really hold things down, and you don't need to panic. You got time to figure out new sales, right? Or it could be opposite. You don't have that time. How is this impacting? You may find that you have enough money in the bank to, again, not panic just yet and put it. But then it may be, yo, if I don't get this money by tomorrow, it's the situation. And then we've got a bigger problem. We got to start dissecting things differently. Oftentimes we're panicking about a circumstance without really identifying the problems that it causes and isolating those problems. It's like being in a relationship. You could have an issue with your significant other and say, every day you make me feel this way. Is that really true? Or every time I do this, you respond this way. But if you really sit down and think about it, it's like, that's not true. It's how, number one, if it is every time, how often do we have this situation? Has this happened like twice where we disagree on food? And is that really a big deal? Or is this an everyday thing and it's something that we need to address? Do we need to change the whole tire? Or will a patch work right now, right? What do we need to do? So in that moment, to answer your question, I think really just getting quiet, not even talking to people who can help you in the moment, because the help isn't what you need first. First, you need clarity. How is this affecting my life or my business? What areas of my life and business are being impacted? And then you may find the resources to say, okay, this is going to affect my marriage, or this is going to affect my staff, or now let's specifically go and find solutions for the marriage, because I might go find a relationship coach when what I needed was a business coach, or I might go find a business coach and what I really, really needed was a sales coach, right? Or a marketing coach, or it might be a sex issue and I'm talking to a Christian business coach. He can't solve the sex problem for real. So maybe what we need is an intimacy coach. You got to get really clear about the issue.
All right. So let's definitely put it in action steps. So one, if we're going through a really, really dark time, our first step is clarity. Let's first get step. Clear on where we are, mm-hmm. where we aren't, what mm-hmm. we have, what we don't have, and what we need. Mm-hmm. So I would say the second step is definitely find someone who understands the issue. Mm-hmm. So people come to me for, like, when they're in a real emotional state and they ask me questions and I have no clue how to answer that. Because I'm not someone that can necessarily relate to heavy emotional issues.
Yeah.
And some people think because you're a coach, you can help them with everything, and you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't. I can help entrepreneurs, right? But I can't help. I don't know how to like console you. Yo, I've been in situations where it's one of my clients. I have like a one-on-one client relationship, and they're going through a very sensitive topic, and they come to me, and all I know at this point is inspiration. How can I inspire you? But the conversation went really bad when I'm giving her strategy and she's under emotion. Mm-hmm. It went bad.
Yeah.
Because now I'm insensitive. Mm-hmm. That was one of the biggest lessons that I learned. And I was like, wow,
yeah.
I can't help. It's better for me when especially a woman, if a woman is going through an emotional state. Now, women and men, but especially women, it is best for me to get off the phone.
Yeah, because you're going to deliver logic where she wants emotional feedback.
100%. Mm-hmm. So step two is find someone who can help you. Mm-hmm. So number three would be what?
So I think even before that, step two is really isolating.
Hold on. Can we back that camera out a little bit? Because when I slide over here, like I'm like all the way up. And it's like a leaning. This episode's a leaner.
This episode's you know what I mean? A leaner.
This episode's a leaner. Okay.
I don't know if we said like to isolate the issue. I think that's the second step. Like understanding what the issue is and the reality of it. And then isolate the issue. Because the problem always looks big when you're grouping it. Mm. For example, in your business, it could be one team member who is causing an issue. But when you talk to me about it, it's, ma'am, I got problems with my team, ma'am, my team. No, it's not your team. It's just that person. Or in your relationship, again, it's everything he does or everything she does. Is it really everything?
Let's isolate the issue.
Isolate the issue. Then, number three, go and find a resource, whether that's a person, a book, a class, find a resource that can help you find some solutions. And then I would say number four is to be consistent in that process. So identify a schedule in which you need some reinforcement in that area. So for example, if you are struggling in your business, specifically. And you know that talking to your business coach once a week is really what you need to get back on track. Then don't choose a business coach that can only talk to you once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So establishing some level of frequency and consistency that actually empowers you to get a result.
Yeah. And probably not letting off of it when you feel like you're better.
Oh, that's so important. So sticking with it. So I think that's number four, or number five, sticking with it. So I'm glad that you said that, because people start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It starts to get better. The sales start to come back. The staff is starting to operate well. Sex is starting to happen. And then it's like, oh, we don't need that anymore. But that's so wrong. Mm. Whatever those basic things you were doing that worked to help you get the result that you were looking for, you got to keep that in some way. And this is a forever thing.
Yeah.
This is a forever thing. And that's why church is still such a profitable, but also such a powerful business model, because people who are believers, who are connected to some spiritual force, right? They understand that they need that on a regular basis. This is what launches them and catapults them through their life. And you'll notice, like for me, it's spiritual development and personal development. If I stray away from it for too long, like my life literally starts to feel sucky.
Yeah.
And I know, like, I know when I'm not in the right space. I know when I haven't read a book or had a coaching call or something, because I start talking crazy. I start getting lazy. You know, things that I said I'm going to do, it starts getting pushed back. Like, and then I can check myself. I know what my source is. So understanding what your source to your solution is really important, and sticking with it. Don't be so audacious that you think that because things are going well right now, that you need to let go of the business coach, let go of the relationship coach, stop reading the book, stop doing the meditation, stop praying, because that's the first thing that we do.
Oh,
we pray frantically when we're going through the storm.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment is good, like, yeah, I'm going to pray tonight. I'm going to come back home and do that tonight.
Oh my gosh, if you help me sober up and get out of this situation, I'll never drink again. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That
Do you ever
night.
Feel guilty going to prayer? Like, man, I've been so long without talking to you. I'm like on my own without church, like just your independent prayer that you're supposed to do. Mm. Yeah, I had that moment this morning.
You know what's cool? Like in our church, we got two prayer times. So every day at 9 and 3, pray every day.
I love it.
So my alarm will go off. And you'll probably see me like excuse myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just go pray. And it's been one of the biggest transfers for me, because I could be going through something in the middle of the day and my alarm goes off.
Mm. So how do you apply that same behavior to other areas of your life?
You have to set a reminder. Like it has to be on a schedule.
So that's that establishing that pattern, that frequency pattern and consistency. So I think that was step 5. What's step 6?
I should probably send a reminder. I should probably set a reminder in my phone at a certain time to text my wife.
You should. And you should do That's it cool. like at a couple of different times, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Tuesday, Thursday.
I would need to do it every day.
Yeah.
If I'm going to make it a habit and consistency. And I believe she would appreciate that.
For sure. Like if she knows that every single day at 12:03, I'm getting a text message just checking on me from my man, that would make her day. And then what happens the moment that you forget? She's wondering what's going on. Why didn't I get my text? You come home, you don't mention the text. You don't realize you didn't send the text. She kind of got a little attitude.
But you know what I would have to do? I would have to have turned the alarm off.
Yeah, for sure. That's why...
For me to miss it.
Like, being committed to consistency, whatever that looks like for you, for most of us, I have to set an alarm. I have to set an alarm. So during the pandemic, in 2020, we got so used to just kind of being in our own solitude. I realized there was a moment that I realized I wasn't talking to my mom as much as I needed to talk to her. So I literally would set an alarm. Call your mom. Yeah. Just check on your mom. You know, I had an alarm set for my daughter, because in the first part of the pandemic, she was still at school. Mm-hmm. And I'm used to a certain routine. So business had kind of changed. I would call her on the way to an in-person meeting that I had every day. That was like my thing. Well, that in-person meeting stopped. So I I was forgetting to call her. Yeah. So I'm like, set an alarm, call your daughter, call your daughter, call your daughter. Cause she's grown, right? Yeah. Now I'm like telling her, set an alarm to call your mama. right. But these are things that, these are, to me, people will think, oh, that's doing too much. I literally had somebody tell me that. They came to me wanting to figure out how to get balance. And, you know, I explained my whole philosophy on balance and talked about priorities. And I'm like, you're literally going to have to sit down with a calendar, map out your day, plot it out, and put things on an alarm. And so I would follow up with them like, hey, do we have this alarm set up yet? Well, we don't need to move forward until we do. And then they were finally honest. And he said, I just feel like this is such a waste of time.
Mm.
It's such a waste of time. But these are things in areas that you're failing in. If these things are really important to you and they're critical to your happiness or your role in somebody else's happiness, it is absolutely worth it for you to go ahead and set an alarm. Like, why not go ahead and just eliminate failure as an option?
This was going to be my next step, and I just didn't know if it fit in a step. But after you went through the process, you've kind of sat with it, you isolate the situation, you found somebody that can help you. This is going to be big. You have to do the thing that the person is telling you to do, even if it's uncomfortable for you or you don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
If someone, it's almost like if someone's telling you to do something that you're comfortable with, that might not be the right advice anyway. If someone's telling you to do something that you're comfortable with, that might not be the right advice, because now you guys are just on the same page. To get out of a tough situation, for me, like in business, to get to the next level, it was always something I didn't agree with. If I did agree with it, then that means I'm thinking like I'm on the same level of thinking. You have to tell me to do something that's uncomfortable that I don't understand and I don't agree with. Because every time I went to the next level, there was some activity that I had to do that I didn't understand or I didn't agree with that got me to the next level. If I did agree with it and I did understand it, I'd probably do it already. Mm-hmm. Everything that I agree with is why I start doing, and that's why I'm where I'm at. But you have so many people that come to you for coaching and say, well, you tell them to do something. They're like, all right, I'm going to do it. But they don't do it to the full capacity. They edit your assignment to be comfortable for them. Do I have to do it every day?
Yeah.
You said post twice a day. Well, today I did once. I think once is good. I think once is cool because I posted two and I didn't get as much engagement on the two. So I'm just going to do one because I'm looking at my analytics. And I like, yo, you was just...
You're the expert now?
You came to me for a reason. Yo, if every time a coach is telling me to do something that I didn't agree with or is uncomfortable, I have a decision to make. Mm-hmm. Do I want to stay where I'm at, or did I enlist this person's help for a reason?
For sure. For sure. Even in our friendship, you've done that to me. You kept telling me, you got to get another car. David, I'm not getting another car. You got to get another car. David, I'm not getting another car. I get another car. Then you tell me, yo, you got to invest in this coaching. How much? For sure not. With you, the advice that you give gets more and more and more expensive. It went from buying a car to joining this coaching program to, yo, sis, you need to do this thing, but it's going to take at least $100,000. And I'm like, okay, now you're talking about buying 60 doors with Terrica. I'm like, the advice gets more, the investment, like your advice is always attached to a dollar figure for me.
Except for the most recent thing that I've been telling you to do over and over.
And I'm going to do it.
And that's the answer you keep giving me.
No. I'm going to do it. But, you know, that's one of those things that, so I am really a visionary, right? And for me, I don't have to understand the full picture, but I have to understand how it kind of makes sense for me, right? And I do get that it makes sense, but I kind of want to have, and it's probably outside of what I would ever tell my clients to do, right? Like you just jump off the porch, you jump in head first. I just have to see myself in it. the way that I know, you know how you use discernment to know if something is for you or not? Mm-hmm. For me, I pray on things, and then once I can visualize myself in it, then it's a go. I can't just jump. Like, that's how I feel like I hear from God about certain opportunities. I have to see myself in it. Can I see me clearly in this space? That is my indication. And I think everybody has certain indications, and I've seen it at this point. Now I just haven't done it. Because once at the time that I saw it, we've been traveling. So
well, I don't miss too much. Especially, yo, I'm really good at this. I'm really good at seeing and picking I see talent, and I just see, like,
you do.
Yeah, so
you do. It's up.
Yeah. We're getting and it's it's uncomfortable. Right?
It is uncomfortable.
But, you know, so what we're talking about is Donnie starting her own podcast. So this is what I know for sure. She is such a relatable woman, powerful woman. The way she communicates ideas, I haven't seen many people with that ability. And I'm almost like, we have the podcast together. She didn't want to do this, first off. She didn't want to do it. I don't see how it's going to, like, make me money. We just see me and we just talk. And we just, that's how she talks.
A podcast?
So, but, like, when she has, and it's just the way I see it in my head. If she, obviously, the content we create is together. So, you won't really say, Donnie, I love your podcast, and I'm standing next to her, and they say, well, who's that? They wouldn't know me. So I know that if Donnie starts her own podcast, and this is like, this isn't it's not in lieu of this podcast. It's just in addition to, which I understand what she's saying, because now it's another uncomfortable commitment. Mm-hmm. Right? She has to, like, create it, then figure out the creation, whatever. But I know once she has her standalone voice, and she has one now, but I'm talking about in terms of podcasting. She has her standalone voice and her standalone podcast, and people can follow that. And they just get 20 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, however long it's going to be, of Donnie's voice constantly. Her brand is going to explode. And then she's doing her own thing. I'm doing my own thing. When we come together and do a thing, it makes it 10 times bigger.
So for me, in my mind, it was wrapping my head around doing it by myself, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because we come, if we're being totally transparent, we never know what we're going to talk about, and we play off of each other's conversation. And so I just imagine me being like, y'all, what's up? This is Donnie Wiggins and my podcast. And
that's why I asked her to come to, like, an episode, a session. Don't do it. Don't do it. I asked her to come to a session where, like, so what we do to, like, 5-minute Fridays, and I'll just jump in the chair and I'll talk about something for 5 minutes. And I know she would excel at that.
Well, see, or 'cause you cut me off.
If I give her a topic.
And what I was about to say was, what I finally wrapped my head around about 2 weeks ago was, like, I used to want to be a blogger. When people would tell me all the time, you need a talk show. But back in 2008, 2010, when Facebook came out, this wasn't a reality, like creating your own space. So I would, like, type out these scenarios and go through my dating life and my business life and all kinds of stuff. And people like, yo, you need a talk show. And I'm like, you're right. What network is ever going to offer me a talk show, right? So I got so accustomed to writing out my thoughts in blogging format, especially on Facebook. It was long form and you can just type forever. And now we do kind of the same thing on Instagram. If you notice my Instagram posts, most of them tell stories. So I finally wrapped my head around, I take this same stuff that I talk about there and come and talk on camera. And I'm excited. And we're going to start it on September 1st.
It's August.
I'm just joking. We are going to start it next week. Joe, hold me to it. So I'm going to start my podcast next week.
Yes.
So I need a name for it. I have a name idea. It was attached to my brand when I was a blogger. And I'm like, I could just bring that back. No. We're not doing anything just for women.
Oh, I don't put it out there.
Yeah, I don't want to put it out there because I need to trademark it. But no, we're not doing anything just for women. But I know what it is. And it's going to be a podcast about business, about being a human in business, like the human aspect of being in business, like things that women deal with, things that I know that men deal with. I want to have guests on when we're talking about certain things, but it's really just for people who give a crap about my opinion, yeah, my take on things.
Interviews or just you?
We could try it. I think I would prefer to do interviews. But until I really kind of get in the lane, you know, will you be my first guest?
Yeah, of course.
You can't be my first guest because it'll feel like social proof.
Just this, yeah. But you know what? I'm just because you have a guest doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be an interview.
And that's what I don't want.
Yeah, I was on Mike Rashid's podcast, but it wasn't him interviewing me. It was this.
It was a conversation.
It was a conversation. 19 yeah. Keys does the same thing. It's a conversation, not necessarily an interview. So yeah, we'll figure it out.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm going to start next week. So let's see. I am going to start next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Whew.
It's going to be so amazing when she steps into it. I just see it so clearly. Like, she's way better at this kind of stuff than I am. Like,
he's such a gasser. Creating.
No.
Get you a friend like David Shands. He's such a gasser.
This is like truth. This is like true stuff. Like, when she started talking about it, when she said she's going to have her own podcast, like, what went through your mind? Like, yo, that's it.
Y'all think so?
I mean, nobody says that about me. I was talking about my 5-Minute Fridays where it's just me. It's like, oh, okay, fine. But when Dottie's about to do her thing.
I want to do a Motivation Monday. Not only am I going to do a podcast, I'm going to do a podcast and a Motivation Monday. Yeah. That way you got Fridays covered. I got Mondays covered.
Let's do it.
Are the Mondays and Fridays sponsored by Social Proof?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Mondays and Fridays sponsored by Social Proof. Can I do those from home?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Why are y'all laughing over there?
We get it set up, audio. They just be, I don't know.
Why y'all laughing over there? Why y'all laughing over there, Mitty? Anywho, you want to summarize? Are we finished with our points? We had like six of them.
That was good. No, I think it was helpful, yes. Helpful. Sometimes you just got to have the conversation, man.
Let it go. Y'all have any questions about what we talked about today? Questions?
Y'all got a microphone over there? Yep. Use that mic. Use that mic if you don't mind.
Somebody was taking notes. Like, I got questions.
Okay, so Donnie, I got to introduce myself. I'm Alexis Lawson of Omaha, Nebraska. I own Detox Herbal Lounge. And thank you for doing this, both you all. You mentioned
but something. Me more.
You see what I'm saying?
Because you said my name.
Right, like, directly. Thank you for doing this.
thank both of you. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned triggers about people taking you back to somewhere that can be detrimental to your future.
Familiar patterns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you avoid them when you're in the moment, when it's brought to your attention? So, for example, you mentioned drinking. Someone say, hey, let's go to this bar. How do you avoid them or get over them?
She goes to the bar.
I do. I'm going to go to the bar. I'm getting lit. No. So I have done some very intentional work to change how I would respond to certain things. So if you know that your response, let's say that is your issue, like, hey, let's go to the bar, and your answer needs to be no, then I would do some intentional work about specifically targeting learning how to say no. So I'm finding all the books, you know, when I'm put on the spot, how do I say no? When I'm feeling uncomfortable, how do I say no? Or if your response is, well, I want to go to the bar, but I want to be disciplined enough to go and have a cranberry juice. That's David. He'll hang out, but he's going to have juice, right? How do I go into an environment and still maintain my core values? I'm intentionally doing work about that kind of stuff. So, you know, if your issue is I need to be a better leader, I am intentionally studying leadership and how to be a better leader. I'm not just getting personal development that's making me feel good. It's targeted and very, very focalized on the area that I'm trying to be really, really developed in. Okay. Does that help?
Yeah, that does.
Thank okay.
Gotcha. Anybody else?
Question? I think question behind you.
I'm Omaya. I was just wondering if you were ever going to bring your dog to like a taping or maybe Black Equity Con and like
You want to like meet the dog?
Yeah, because I've never seen that at a conference. I never see stylists at conferences either, but that's neither here nor there. But having a pet, because so many people have pet relationships, and to actually position him to be inspiration, a lot of people have pets because they have, you know, health issues or emotional issues, and they need that support of a dog or an animal like that. So I think that would be dope. It actually inspires me to want to get a puppy for my kids, but they don't even keep their rooms clean. But it's just yeah, a you great know,
what's,
story.
What's funny is I didn't think about it when I left the house, but I had been thinking in the weeks, like he's been heavily on my mind. This moment, I had been thinking about bringing him to the podcast, and I hate that I didn't, but I might bring him next week in the morning is a better time for him.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, you know what's crazy?
I have a dog that's peeing around the house? You think I got a dog that's peeing around the house?
Yeah, you know what's crazy? When she said that, I was thinking, for one, when you talked about your dog, that's a whole on-stage fire presentation.
For sure.
Oh my gosh. And at the end, you actually bring him out because he came to my house. And like you could see, like he'll walk around and like bump into a wall, mm-hmm. and he'll come to another and bump into the wall. Like if you bring,
he smelled that chicken though, he knew exactly where to go. Chicken.
He knew what was happening. Yo, but like after that presentation, you bring the dog on stage, Solo would get a standing ovation.
He would, and he could probably hear it.
That's lit.
Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious. He would. Yeah, I'll bring him probably next week. A morning time is better for him.
Where's he going to sit? Where's he going to be at?
In my lap.
The whole time?
He's going to sit. Yeah, for sure. He's going to sit right here. Be my little baby. Yep, right here.
You think he'll scratch?
David doesn't enjoy animals.
I mean, you think he'll scratch the couch, though?
No, he won't scratch the couch.
How do you know?
Because I know. So I'll have him, and just in case, I'll put his little pad right here. Listen, first of all, I've been a pet mom now for, 8 years, 9 years? I got this figured out. My house is spotless, honey. He scratches nothing.
I don't see any dog here.
But himself. Yeah. Oh, first of all, I wouldn't have been concerned about what the vet did if he was a dog. That's not nice to say. Let me say. First of all, God blessed me with my animal dog because he is well-behaved. He doesn't make messes unless he's sick. He doesn't shed, and he has manners, but he stands firm. He stands his ground. Like, if he's not feeling something or a person, he is not going to play with you.
I don't know if it's a good idea. You know what I mean? It'd be moving around. It's like kind of...
Yeah, and then I can put him out there.
Yeah, but right in the middle of the episode.
Somebody, like, we slide him. Yeah. First of all, Dave, we got this. I love it. Thank you so much for that idea. Anybody else? Yeah. No, he'll stay.
My name is Marnie. And
Marnie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like the entire episode was about resilience.
Yes.
So what is something that helps you, that keeps you going because you just get better at handling hard? So how do you keep that, you know? Because, you know, we suffer loss. You suffer tragic times throughout in your personal life. How does that affect, you know, you keep...
Can I answer real quick?
Mm-mm. She was looking directly at me.
But the question went to us, though. Yeah, it was like,
I'm going to give you some shine because everybody, appreciate
she clearly just asked you. She said, oh, no. Go ahead, Donnie. It's like, dang, okay.
No, you know, I am so motivated. I'm so motivated by the concept of maximizing my life. Like, I literally want my life to stand for something. So even... I have moments where I can't move, I can't perform, I can't think. I'm just stuck, right? And I don't really worry too hard in those moments, and I'm not too hard on myself in those moments because I know me and I know I'm going to snap out of it. But sometimes you really have to sit down and just take a moment. But overall, I'm really just so motivated about maximizing my life and the life of the people who are connected to me that it's just not in my DNA. I think I thank my mom and dad and God for this. It's just not in my DNA to not keep going. Like I was built this way, truthfully. Mm. He has another, and he's thinking of his deep. Go ahead and get deep.
She don't care. No, and maybe this isn't even like the best answer, but I've especially like from my my subconscious minders, my manifestors, you know what I mean?
Jesus.
I have accepted the fact that this is a part of life. Like, I'm not naive enough to think that everything has to go well. So when it doesn't, when something goes against what I feel, what I deem as like feeling good, I know I'm not going to trip because this is a part of it. The current is taking me. Eventually, I know it will let me out. Mm. Eventually. I've been through so much, so many ups, downs, and I know that it's unproductive to wallow in the sorrows. What did you say earlier? You said something like, not feeling good doesn't help or something like that.
Yeah, being miserable doesn't help.
What does being miserable?
Feeling miserable just doesn't help. It doesn't. But that's not to say that we're not human and there aren't for sure some miserable moments. And I think it's very important to also, when I say isolate the issue, also isolate the time frame in which it's happening. Like, are you just having a bad sales day? Or has sales for the month been bad? Or has sales for the last 2 years been bad? Because those all mean something different, right? Yeah. What happened today that leads to bad sales or low sales? Also, this month of sales could just simply mean that this is seasonal for you. This is your time of the year. For example, like if you are in a beauty services industry, well, the months of June and July and maybe January could go down for you, right? Why? Because a lot of travel. People are traveling. What are women doing who are normally getting their fades or getting their presses in their weaves? They're getting braids. So if you are someone who presses natural hair, June, July, January may look not so great for you. And here you are ready to close your doors instead of isolating the issue and saying, you know what? Every year in June, every year in July, every year in January, this happens. I need to now just use that data and plan for it better next year, knowing that these are the 3 months that maybe I go a little harder on education. Maybe I do a tour demonstrating classes. Maybe I do something else to generate that income. Or maybe I take a break because I'm getting it the other 9 months of the year.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be nighttime for a good 11 hours every single day. And it seemed like a long time, but eventually the sun comes up. Like everything you've ever been through, you've gotten over it. Am I right? Like nothing's lasted your entire life. And I think once you know it, it's like, okay, this does hurt. It doesn't feel well. Like when my mom passed, it tore me up inside. Mm-hmm. But then I started to think about when my father passed, and it never, ever feels good. But what helped me get over that is knowing that it won't hurt like this forever.
Yeah.
It won't hurt like this forever. So, but Donnie, we gotta wrap up.
We gotta go, yeah, because we got a birthday to celebrate, y'all. Do. Today is Dre Day.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, do me a favor. So actually right now,
yes,
when you're seeing this, it's her birthday. So send her, because I'll be putting her Instagram. Like, if you
Cash
know her,
App. How you can Cash App Donnie Wiggins. No, I'm just playing.
How would I do that?
We're going to put Dre's Cash App in the description of this video. Y'all, show her some love and send her a Cash App. She's like pregnant. She's like glowing. Today is her birthday. We're about to go have a nice dinner.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find her Cash App.
Just send it to you and put Dre Day.
Hold on a second. Hey, honey. Do you have a Cash App?
Say what?
You have a Cash App? You need to finish setting it up? Okay. Where you at?
Make too much money when you don't have a Cash App set up.
All right. I'll open it.
Y'all send it to Donnie Wiggins and then just put Dre Day. No, because if she get thousands of dollars, I'm responsible for the taxes on that now.
Not so. Really. It's just Cash App.
No, don't play with me.
Oh, we got to go. She's here. Oh, so yeah, we'll put it in there.
Don't mention that we're about to go to dinner. She has no idea. She's going to be here. She's here. She's outside.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, don't mention that we're going anywhere.
Okay. All right. All right. So you guys, we love you. Thank you so much for please like, subscribe. We got to go because we got to go.
We got to go, y'all. It's been amazing. We'll see y'all the same time next week. We promise.
Peace.
COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too. If you feel symptoms, even if they're mild, you should test fast. Test positive and at high risk for severe COVID-19? Then act fast with authorized oral treatments that can be taken at home and must be taken within 5 days from when symptoms begin. COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too by asking your healthcare provider if an oral treatment is right for you. Learn about a treatment option at treatcv19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.